Hey everyone, and welcome to the Pisgah Podcast.
We are your hosts. I'm Mangler, and that is Drew, and you are listening to Pisgah. We're coming to you live from Betsy's Old Country Store.
All right, so let's get right into the news and updates. Mangler, it's raining.
Yes, dude, absolutely. And it's been raining. I think we kind of had like one half nicest day this week on Tuesday. But ever since then, it's just been raining. And I think I'm at over 6 inches of rain at my house for the week.
Yeah, and the place where the water collects out in front of my house at the road, it just turns yellow at the end of the day. Nothing but rain and pollen.
And currently it is pouring rain right now.
Mm-hmm.
Still.
Yeah. It was wild too. I went this morning on my way to work and I could look across the city and I'd see this big, beautiful rainbow. As soon as I turned south, it was just gray and nasty.
And that's where I live.
Yeah. Thanks for living in the gray. So I don't have to.
Yeah. So with all this rain, obviously, we've got flood warnings out and stuff right now. DuPont has closed Triple Falls viewing and the stairs for at least Friday. They hoping to reopen it Saturday. So that just kind of gives you an idea of how much rain we've got. So maybe this weekend, if you're going out on a big riding trip, maybe not go to the trails that don't drain well, maybe.
Maybe check the rainfall for the past few days and see where it's gotten it and where it hasn't. Because, you know, underneath the topsoil, our mineral soil is pretty prone to washing out. And we've got a lot of rain in a very short amount of time. So any place you're going to touch your brakes is going to make an impact.
Yeah. So those more rockier trails, probably a good place to go poke around at for some good riding this weekend. And then maybe still give a day or so on some of the more not as well draining trails.
Or, you know, check out your local bike park like, I don't know, maybe Canoga, where they maintain the trails and they can fix the damage.
Yes, absolutely. The Rome crew is having their Rome Rally Demo Tour at Canoga on Sunday, May 29th. That's this Sunday. And then they'll be doing another demo event at Sycamore on Tuesday, May 31st from 10 to 4. And you can get more of those details on their social media account, This Is Rome, or you can hit their website, thisisrome.com.
And speaking of Canoga, what's up with the new jump line that we've been seeing on social media?
Yeah, I fired Callie those questions the other day because I had some homies in town that they and I were interested in riding those, but still work in progress. Callie tells me they still need to build like a rolling platform and some stuff like that and do some additional finishing work. But believe me, I am really looking forward to running it.
Yeah, same here. And as a former BMX rider, tell me what's your opinion on what it looks like so far. Is this going to be a dirt jump line, or is this going to be something you can hit on your mountain bike too?
Well, I will probably hit it on my trail bike, and they're not like BMX type quick steep lips, but they are much steeper than all the other lips that you're used to at Canoga. They look real good from what I've looked at. Really, I've just mostly looked at the closer line, which I'm pretty sure is like the black line, but starts off with some sweet like step up hip type things. They all look rollable except for definitely the last one, because the last is like a giant metal launch ramp that Hayden welded and built. It's pretty tall, at least one Mangler tall, maybe Mangler 0.3. So it's pretty tall and it's like a gap jump to landing. But what would be cool is if they change the distance on it. So you have like, you can go a little slower and pull up more, spine jump it, or pull it back and straight up moto jump it.
Yeah, but slide it in and out. Yeah, it's cool.
I've already seen like a bunch of those dudes throwing threes and backflips over it and stuff. So some heavy first moves already going down on them. So they're looking really promising.
Sounds good. So I guess you probably know my next question. Tell me about Jared's place.
Yeah, so last week I had some homies down in Georgia and I went down and met up with them, the guys from Revel Bikes, Mason Bond and Brady Tweedy. And went and met up with them down in Georgia. It was really hot. And we went to Jared's place, and it was really hot. I think I drank like 6 bottles of water with scratch in them within like the span of 2 hours. But yeah, Jared's place recently opened, and it is really sick. They have like a truck-style shuttle similar to what you are used to seeing at Windrock. The trailer's set up with a flatbed with seats on the back. They have a lot of acres in North Georgia. It's outside of Rome. It looks like it was like a clear-cut forest at some point, and then they basically just went through and cut in lines. The shuttle takes you up, I believe it's around 600 feet elevation from the bottom. So that's a good run from there, but you can also pedal up another additional bit to get to the top. And from there, you have some additional line options. Most of the stuff from the top is more hand-cut, like tech-style trail. And then when you get down to where like the shuttle point is, there is a couple of like hand-cut style tech trail options, but there's some really fun jump trail options. My favorite as a warm-up line was they have a trail called Double Green, which, you know, a lot of times the more advanced riders are probably going to skip over a green trail and just like go straight to a blue. But everyone was like, yeah, go hit Double Green to senior discount. Senior discount's a blue trail. And so, yeah, we did Double Green to senior discount. It was super fun. And then I forget all the other trails we rode, but one of the jump trails that we rode had you in the trees for a little bit, and then the jumps get slightly bigger as you make your way down. But you jump this big shark fin hip, and then just straight in front of you, and it seems like as far as you can see are just these huge, ginormous jumps. Like it's like a 30-footer, and then there's a long low in the middle, and then it's like a 50-footer. And if the wind was not blowing 15 miles an hour into my face, I was really looking forward to hitting those because the speed worked. Everything just like went trail speed, so it was good. But having that headwind straight at me meant I cased a 30-foot jump, so that wasn't the best.
Right.
But they were like chill tabletops, so you know you could land on the flat top and it wouldn't bother you. But yeah, Jared's place is pretty sick. They've got camping spots for RVs and stuff. I don't know the specs of how big of a rig you could take there, but there are no services. But they do have like some showers and restrooms there at their office building. They've got great parking area. You park in a parking lot and then you pedal over to where the shuttle spot is. And on your way there, it's a really fun step up jump. So there's something fun to session on the way to like where the shuttle truck picks you up.
Nice.
And then it's just ripping laps. But I only got like 4 laps in because I was down there to shoot some video with Rebel. And so I had to actually do some work.
Well, work aside, man, that sounds like a pretty awesome spot to check out. And that leaves us with just enough interest to hope for a Jared's Place episode pretty soon.
Yeah, dude, definitely. We need to get down there for a Jared's Place episode. Jared was real psyched on us. He knew of the podcast, fan of it. So yeah. And we've got a lot of stuff to ride and check out. Another place that we need to go as a podcast team retreat is to Wilson Creek.
Well, yeah. I mean, we have both ridden a lot of Wilsons in our day, but I don't think we've ever ridden Wilsons together.
No, I don't think we have either.
So yeah, we absolutely have a lot of stuff to ride and check out there. And, yeah, I don't know. They've done a lot of work there to Yancey's, right?
Mm-hmm. So we've got the new Yancey Ridge, which mostly has been redone, especially the exit. Sinkhole just reopened. After they did a bunch of work on that, they did some realignment on some things. So far, everyone I know that's ridden it has said it's still awesome. Nothing's like negative about it at all. So really looking forward to check that out. And now, the new schoolhouse reroute has been reopened. And for today's episode, we've got Christian Jackson on the mic to talk to us about the whole process of redoing schoolhouse, which was kind of a big undertaking.
Yeah, that's no small task, and expectations have to be high from people that have ridden that and are used to that area of the woods.
Yeah, for those of you who aren't familiar with the name Christian Jackson, he is the trail boss over Rocky Knob in Boone, North Carolina. He has been a longtime member of the Western North Carolina mountain bike community, specifically up in Boone. He has spent tons of time all over the forest and kind of all over the country. So, yeah, he's also probably our biggest unofficial fan of the podcast. So we're psyched to have him here on the mic with us to talk about the new schoolhouse. Well, Christian, we are here in the hustling and bustling community of Mortimer, North Carolina. I've spent quite a few times here, either in the campground, parking lot, etc., after either riding Yancey or Schoolhouse. And we're here because Schoolhouse has just reopened after a big little rework makeshift. So, yeah, talk to me about this Schoolhouse project, because I know you had a big hand in it.
Yeah, so I think the Schoolhouse project is really unique in the sense that it's kind of at the from the mountain bike community, it's at the center of maybe the beginning of everything that's happening trail-wise down here. If you go back and look at the first guidebooks from the area and the description of Schoolhouse, I mean, it's historically been like the rowdiest trail around because of the ditches and the exposed rock and whatnot. And, you know, is revered for that. The people that I mean, that equaled Pisgah, you know, that gnar. You know,
that was stereotypical Pisgah gnar.
That was it.
Yeah.
You know, even more so than Yancey. Even it's shorter, but like it was just really rowdy. Shortly after the Northwest North Carolina Mountain Bike Alliance got going under Paul Stahlschmidt's leadership, the founding president and colleague from Rocky Knob and at ASU, he was concerned that he was hearing from the Forest Service that Schoolhouse was going to get shut down, that it was the most complained about trail in the system.
Who was complaining about it?
Hikers, the general public, you know, like when things were, you know, during the meetings for the forest plan, you know, like it was commented upon, and he would cite that it was the most complained about trail in the system. And when you look at it, when you take off the gnar goggles,
that's a good way to put it.
And you start looking at it, it's the example, the epitome of everything that's wrong with the trail.
It's a degrading trail.
Historically, I've known that. I mean, almost 30 years of riding it, have known that. And really, it was probably 2015, 2016 or so, where Schoolhouse was in the rotation of things that we would ride.
Yeah.
It wasn't a weekly thing necessarily back then, but it was in the rotation.
In a month or so, you'd do a loop on it.
Yeah. And the common, culturally, the information that gets shared about trails, it was deemed that Schoolhouse was unrideable. And people were talking about it's gotten so bad it's unrideable, and there were some of us that didn't quite agree with that, and it was, you know, still rideable. But again, taking off those goggles and looking at it, it's like, yeah, every single time you ride it, it's not just changing a little bit, but like entire boulders are moving out of the ditch and creating new holes where things are. And we came through in, I want to say 2016.
It was 2016, yeah.
That we opened it up as the Mountain Bike Alliance. We came in with, you know, with our hand tools and just cut back the laurel and the rodeo. Mm-hmm. And to that point, like, it was so overgrown that very, very few people were riding it. And in some ways, like, opening it up probably accelerated everything that happened after that, because more people started riding it because it was, you know, quote, open.
And some dirt bikes started going up.
Dirt bikes, four-wheelers. There were four-wheeler tracks up at the traffic. I mean, it could not handle the traffic, and it was like literally pouring sediment, you know, off the trail into the road. And there'd be entire runs where sediment would be just hundreds of feet moving.
You just, like, you're in sand almost in some spots. Yeah.
And in some places it's so profound that it was undercutting the ditch itself, you know, like the way a river undercuts rocks, which is really wild to see. So combine that with this fear that the Forest Service is going to shut it down, really triggered a lot of emotion from local riders of like, well, we can't let this happen. And so Paul and I had a discussion, and we just we thought a really good course of action would be to bring the local community, like the core riders, the folks that are riding Schoolhouse and have been riding it for a long time, together with the Forest Service. You know, at this point, we didn't really know Lisa.
Lisa was fairly new.
She came on, I believe, I'd have to fact check, 2013 or 14.
Okay.
She and Debbie came to a meeting at the Pedal and Pig. Ethan hosted the meeting. And basically the agenda was an informal time to talk about what does the mountain bike community value about the trails, and what do we want to see happen? The Mortimer Project hadn't been fully conceptualized at this point, to my knowledge. You know, Yancey wasn't on the table yet. Yancey, you know, per the Forest Service, was not
A catalog trail.
No. And we can kind of go deep in the weeds on that, but it was there, but wasn't recognized. But in the outcome of this meeting was, you know, we have all these core mountain bikers sitting around with two rangers talking about what's important for the trail and what we'd like to see. And that sparks this movement that we're seeing now, where Yancey has gotten redone top to bottom. Something incredible happened on Schoolhouse. Jackson Knob and Estes Mill and Mark's Mountain, all these other things that are going to start happening, are truly transforming the riding experience, or the trail experience for all users in the Wilson Creek. You know, in my time riding here, I've never seen anything like it. And so that's kind of the context of where we came from for what's happened on Schoolhouse. And Paul and I came up, rode Schoolhouse a lot, and basically like tried to look at it like, well, what could we do to keep it open? What could be a solution to figure out? And we brainstormed.
And how do we salvage this? Because that's the point it was at.
Yeah. And, you know, through this process, Paul worked incredibly closely with the Forest Service and with Lisa, and really built this relationship between bridging the mountain biking community and the rangers, and really creating this bond here of trust that Forest Service saw the Alliance and its membership as people that truly cared about a place they love.
Which, and let's go, 14, 15 years prior to that, there's history of Forest Service and mountain bikers not getting along.
Yeah, different era. I mean, the Hick Hucksters, self-admittedly, were just building a trail, and as you know, college kids out in the woods, and you know, were arrested for doing so by the Forest Service. A lot, you know, there's a lot of animosity there on both sides with how that went down, and that story like kind of permeated local culture for a long time.
Yeah,
you know, and resulted in not necessarily distrust, but just no relationship.
Yeah,
there's no relationship, but you know, it really wasn't until Lisa came on that, you know, she started building that piece of it, or the building relationship. And, you know, Paul was instrumental on the mountain bike side as the central advocate, the voice that's calling probably on a daily basis, you know, to somebody in the Forest Service or somebody to make sure that they everybody was on the same page.
Yeah.
You know, none of this would have happened without his work and, you know, and Lisa's as well. And so through that process, we decided, you know, through like Lisa's encouragement, this is what's so incredible. Like, well, if you want to salvage this trail, you come up with some ideas on how to do it, you know, and she like basically put, you know, like you've got this Rocky Knob experience, this expertise, show me like what could be done.
That's some of the other things that I really see value in Lisa. And this is an example of great leadership from her, is don't come to me with a problem. Come to me, present the problem, but then give me some solutions.
Correct.
Yeah.
Action-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And so through that, she also said that changing the trail, doing whatever we need to do to the trail, definitely need to honor what people wanted out of the trail to begin with, which was its technicality. Right. And she wouldn't make sure that whatever happens is not simply replacing bad trail with boring trail.
Kudos to her for.
Yeah. And honestly, when we were standing up on the ridge and she said that, Paul and I and Debbie, and, you know, Lisa's like, if you want to make this the flagship mountain bike trail in our area, then let's do it. Let's figure out how to do it. You know, at that point, we didn't really have a a formalized plan, but that, like, that's what we needed, is that little, that fire to say, well, let's figure it out now. And so, you know, through this process of Paul leading a whole bunch of people looking at the trail over and over the course of, I think we started in 2017, started looking at how to do this, figuring out the places in the trail that could be saved, places that were sustainable, whether they were good alignment on the ridge itself, or it was steep and on pure rock. So we found those key places, and there weren't many of them, but there was a handful, and kind of said, these will stay, everything else has to go, and we're going to figure out a way to connect it with contour trail, and then use in slope turns per the Forest Service requirements, not berms, in slope turns. Yep. To maximize the bike experience, but still make it, you know, usable by hikers as well. And so with that in mind, then was that enabled the layout then to flow really well. If we know that we can put turns in here and there, and some on some pretty steep side hill, then we're going to be able to make the connections. And so over the course of a couple years of going up and down flagging tape and clinometers and figuring stuff out and trying one way and not working out, and finally got the flag line in, and then the Forest Service went through it to look at it, made a few changes here and there, and then went into the NEPA process for it.
When you guys voluntarily graced your time, when you're flagging these trails, you guys are also looking at sustainability, longevity. What is it that the Forest Service looks at when they go into it and they want to make changes on
things?
It's
the same thing. I mean, they're looking, I mean, we're all coming from it from, you know, what are the control points? What's the grade? Just making sure that things aren't too steep. The Forest Service is good about looking at it from the non-mountain bike perspective. You know,
take the NAR goggles off.
Yeah.
Put your foot travel goggles on.
Yeah, exactly. And so that it's about that they help create that balance of, you know, if it's just me out there laying it out, then it's going to look a lot like a bike trail.
Yeah. Because it's hard to take those bike goggles off.
Yeah, it is. Because you start to get excited.
Because even when you're hiking hiking trails and stuff, you've got the bike glasses on, and you're looking at lines. It's hard to take that away from your vision.
So yeah, so once they kind of sign off on their own view of the alignment, then it gets passed over to NEPA, where it's looked at from biologists and the archaeologist. And, mm-hmm.
Did NEPA find anything cool?
I actually ran into the archaeologist one day. I was out here riding, and he had found a prehistoric campsite, I think right between where our vehicles are parked right there.
Really?
Yeah.
Just digging around the parking
lot? Yeah, he was. I'm not sure what his process is, but he found some evidence there right by that stump, you know, and he said that didn't find anything else on the flag line.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so, and then once all of that went through, the project was green-lighted through RTP funding. So they were, Lisa was able to include that on one of the cycles. And then or the request for proposals went out, and High Country Conservation was awarded the contract. And
which is a name that some of us probably aren't familiar with.
They're based out of Virginia, and they do trails kind of all over. They were going from here to, I think, Louisville, Kentucky, and then on to Colorado.
Okay.
So the operator, the machine operator, Chase, was here, did a walkthrough, and, you know, and then decided he had one of the issues with building the new trail was how to logistically go about
how to get in there
because of the ditches. And,
yeah.
And so he built his way up the trail from the bottom, built new trail up, and then it had a hand crew behind him doing the hand finishing on a daily basis. So he was basically like, it looked like he was in front of his machine was forest and behind it was new trail, you know, just being churned out. It's pretty, pretty impressive. But then he closed all the old trail down when he came back out.
Okay.
So he went up building new trail and then do maintenance on the places that we left, and then closed out everything and naturalized it.
Okay, cool.
So I don't know if you noticed, but they had this really unique style of hand finishing where they, or finishing in general, where they, after the machine did the bench cut, and they brought a lot of the organic matter back to the sides of the trail. I don't know if you noticed that, but like they kind of pinched it in to look like
thinking back narrow. On it now, like when we stopped a couple of times, I did notice how the it's upper topsoil duff, and you know some stuff thrown to the edges and stuff, which because thinking back on it, it was a pretty narrow, pretty narrow experience,
It doesn't quite look like a machine is, for the most part, has gone through. And the other thing that the Forest Service really wanted to put out there was that they wanted the Alliance to be able to give input on the build as it was happening.
Oh, wonderful.
And to be to see it and provide any sort of guidance or whatever the builder needed. And so I came out and Paul came out and we met with Chase and started building that relationship and tried to, between the two of us, probably looked at it every couple, 3 or 4 days probably while it was being built. And almost exclusively just gave high fives and pat on the backs to Chase because he was this really, really keen eye for features and flow and technical where it needed to be and sustainability. Like that was always at the forefront. He's done some really good work with different drain structures.
Let's talk about timeline because it seems like it closed up and then reopened fairly quickly.
It did. 5 weeks maybe. The last week of February, I think they were on site and mobilized and got set up here at the campground. And we did the final walkthrough on April 1st.
That's a pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah.
So let's talk about like how much trail.
I think it's around 8,500 feet of new trail plus the maintenance sections. So it's a longer experience than the old trail. And I would argue a better experience. I think many of us were eager to see the result of replacing a trail that we loved a lot, with something new and I love it. I think it's a wonderful trail. It requires a lot of bike skill.
Yeah.
To connect everything and it's you can't just like the old trail you really needed to be brave and to go in a straight line pretty well.
That's right. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Now you need to be brave and ride in a straight line.
Yep.
And you need to be able to pinch your knees in and tuck those feet in.
Yep. Those are your primary skills. Yeah, like the schoolhouse body position is like an arrow tuck almost.
Yeah.
So you're not grating your flesh on the side of the ditch. But so now you've got to be good at tight turns.
I was surprised.
Linking turns.
Yeah.
Seeing your line selection, the chunk that is left, it's not super obvious like what you need to do.
And it kind of comes up on you a little quick sometimes.
There's a lot of little sneaky things that you've got to be really paying attention to.
And when we wrote it, we had talked about Flowtech or what I would pretty much like to call like having the Pisgah flow. Like it's not a flow trail.
Nope.
But it's got some flowy pieces and some not flowy pieces, and riding those is like one smooth go is like finding that Pisgah flow.
Yeah, and that's like all trails should flow.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, I think we forget sometimes that when the trail doesn't flow, it's not necessarily the trail's fault.
True.
Like maybe we need to increase our skill mm-hmm. to figure out how to unlock what the terrain is demanding of us to do. And so this trail, I mean, it's going to take, a lot of time, a lot of laps down it to unlock it all, which that's exciting.
Yeah. I was beyond pleasantly surprised on the new pieces, like some of the in slope turns that link together were real good. And then some of the side cut stuff, you got some spots to yank on some things.
There's a few little moves there that are floaty.
I think what we did was we parked here at the campground at Mortimer at the picnic area. And we pedaled up to Forest Road and we did what old schoolers would call 21 jumps.
Yep.
Which is, was it Wilson Ridge Trail?
Yep.
So we did Wilson Ridge to Schoolhouse.
Upper Wilson.
Yeah. Upper Wilson to Schoolhouse and all the way back down here to then. And it was like 11 miles and some change. So
that's a classic Wilson loop. You can add a whole lot to it if you want to.
Oh, totally.
Just right from here.
Yep. Right from here. As the Mortimer project has kind of expanded from Yancey to Schoolhouse. Kind of what's next on the horizon for that?
I believe the next piece of this project is the Marks Mountain Trail.
Yeah, that sounds real cool.
And so from Middle Yancey into Upper Yancey via single track, and that's going to unlock some fantastic opportunity for more loops and more backcountry off roads.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Wilson Creek is you're going to do a lot of forest road pedaling.
Yeah,
but I mean, you do that in Ranger District as well. But to be able to like get some more single track stuff in would be super awesome.
Totally.
Let's talk a little bit about how, on some other aspects of what the Schoolhouse project did, because you had some media stuff with Patagonia that kind of revolved around this.
Yeah. So yeah, Schoolhouse and this whole idea of the, you know, that piece is called the Pisgah Paradox has been kind of close to my heart for a really long time, you know, since my Outward Bound days and learning about trails and sustainability and learning from folks that were further along the experience line than I was at the time, the importance of understanding how all that stuff works.
And, the balance of the forest.
Yeah.
Amongst the user groups and nature itself.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. And that, yeah, riding bikes is an amazing way to experience the trails and to get our own experience from it. And it's even richer when you start understanding how everything's connected.
Yeah.
You know, and start to see that grade reversal not as something to pull from and double from.
Mm-hmm.
But it's purposeful to make sure that this place stays the way that we love it. So, yeah, so I was honored to be able to kind of highlight that, what we're learning here. In that, you know, through their media, really wonderful thing.
Yeah. So talk to me about that process, because you had like Shanna Powell,
yeah,
and then Trey Thomas,
yeah,
and then you included some of the Pisgah Ranger District Fisher homies like Jed.
So originally the piece, there were going to be two pieces. One was the Schoolhouse piece, and I had started writing that kind of shortly after we had kind of done the design work and had gone through NEPA and all of that. And so that was a singular short piece about this. And then I had another piece I was working on about the Ranger District called Better Rivers, Better Trails. The same concept, but just down there. And really looking at that from starting from the point of view of the river as opposed to starting from the point of view of the trail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so Debbie and Jeb, you know, it got introduced to them through TJ, rode Butter Gap, which is the first trail I did trail work on Pisgah.
And back when it was called Grogan's Creek.
Grogan's Creek. We adopted that at the Outward Bound School and did, I don't know, countless hours of maintenance on it, some of which you can still see down in there. But and that story kind of started with that idea that the fish hatchery, which Grogan Creek feeds the fish hatchery, they were experiencing so much sedimentation in that thing that they're going to have to, you know, they have to basically dredge out sedimentation from you know, the creek. So looked at it from that point of view and kind of realized through that the editing process that there was it's really the same story, right? It's Pisgah. It's a larger story about erosion and use, you know, user groups. And through that editing process, realized that kind of telling the same story and started merging. So we're just working on merging the story, because it's telling a bigger picture about the forest in general, and it's not really specific to a singular trail, but more about the experience of this, the gnar that we love as mountain bikers is something that's causing damage to the overall environment.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that's been I've been interested in, wanted to kind of bring that into this discussion. And, you know, I think Schoolhouse has been such a great example of that, well, if that's what we love, then, and we love this place, then what do we need to do to elevate both? And, you know, how can we build a better trail so that we're getting the experience we want, but also protecting the environment?
Yeah, because we've got some clear examples of both Schoolhouse and Black Mountain Trail and Butter Gap. I mean, all three of those needing something done to minimize, you know, erosion into the creek. Because, like, right here we have Wilson Creek, And then in Ranger District, we have, you know, everything feeds down into, you know, the Davison River, essentially. Both of these have shown clear examples of sediment damage over the years.
And I think that the important thing to remember with this is that none of the, I mean, with very few exceptions, none of the trails in either of the districts were ever created for recreation.
Exactly.
I mean, they're just, it just, they weren't. And we can't pretend like they were. There are a few examples out there, but everything else has needed dramatic maintenance.
Yeah.
And that's just, that's the reality. And so with an example now, like what's been done to Black or Schoolhouse or Yancey is like creating these reroutes. Like, how can we do those things in a way that A is sustainable, protects the environment, protects the place that we love, but then also provides this amazing experience that we want to be coming back to. Cause that's kind of a responsibility we have is we, you know, if the social sustainability side, if we build a trail and it's no one uses it, then we didn't really do our job. Right.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Been thinking, riding Schoolhouse lately, riding the new Yancey, riding the new Black, it feels like we're in this new era of trails, in our region. The ridership has obviously increased.
Mm-hmm.
Our bikes are super rad right now. And, you know, every year just get something new. This just makes it even more exciting. And our skill levels are increasing as a whole. You start looking at, like we talked about, the high schoolers.
Yeah.
You know, ride their bikes on out in the forest and are jibbing off things that, you know, most riders aren't seeing. And it's incredibly impressive. So our bikes are increasing in their capacity, their capabilities. Our ridership is increasing in number and in skill. And it seems like the next piece to this is trails need to increase in the way that we're building them. So not just simple mileage, but looking at how do we create amazing, unique trails.
A better quality of trail, not just quantity.
Exactly. A better quality of trail, trails with more character, you know, more unique to what we have here. I think that's the next piece that we're going to be starting to see.
And do you think that's something that can be easily implemented within Forest Service land?
I think we're seeing examples of it right now for sure. Yeah. I think Schoolhouse is a step towards that, and then encourage that we maybe see more of that. The G5 and Old Fort as well. The Butter Gap project in and of itself and how that unfolds is I think a great example. They're talking about looking at the model of things that are close to the hatchery, close to the parking lot, being easier, you know, and things that are further away being potentially more difficult. So I think the potential is there. My hope is that, you know, through the model of the Alliance and the grandfather district, that model can translate to other areas where we're having the locals having a hand in assisting the Forest Service in making decisions and of what we want the trails to look like.
Awesome. I love it.
Got to say an amazing thank you to Lisa.
Yes.
For the support for this project.
I mean, I don't think enough thanks can go out to Lisa Jennings as it is. So not only, like the grandfather district is huge and has a lot going on right now, not just with G5. I mean, that in and of itself is a huge project. And what her and Jason and everyone at the G5 is doing is amazing.
Yep.
But then also, she's also putting in time out here in Mortimer.
She's been out in Wilson Creek almost daily during Schoolhouse. I mean, definitely several times a week.
Yeah.
You know, in the grandfather district goes from Kitsuma to Sinkhole.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like Wilson Creek's got a lot of cool stuff popping off here soon. I definitely would encourage some people to come do a Yancey lap, to ride the new Yancey stuff that, you know, we had Paul on the show a couple episodes ago to talk about that. And then of course, come ride the new Schoolhouse. You can either do a big day and ride both of them, or you can do two chill days and, you know, make some reservations here at the campground and stay there, or some of the more remote camping sites here in Wilson Creek. Sounds like a solid weekend.
That would be super fun.
And maybe they'll see you and your family out here shredding it up.
They might get a cheer wine from coffee store.
Ooh. Well, sweet. Well, thanks for your time, Christian. And thanks for the tour down the trail.
It's a pleasure, Michael.
So yeah, mountain biking has gotten really popular in Western North Carolina, and I think that this is another example of one of those trails where the amount of people that used to ride it versus the amount of people that ride it now made a huge impact on the turbidity and the runoff that came from the amount of usage on this. So you've got really sandy soil there. You've got the oldest mountains in the world. You've got lots of minerals in the soil there too. So it's just running off right into Wilson Creek.
Yeah, literally, like, the trail dumps out. There's a culvert under the road, and Wilson Creek is maybe 30 yards away. It's close. But Christian, actually, we mentioned this, but he did that article with Patagonia. So we will link to that in the show notes for those that want to read a little more about it. And, you know, it kind of bounces back and forth between Pisgah Ranger District and Wilson Creek, which is Grandfather District. So there's a lot going on there. But right before we recorded that podcast interview, we rode the trail. So I got a good taste of the new schoolhouse. And it's really a toss-up right now for me between Upper Black and Schoolhouse as one of my favorite reroutes.
Yeah, definitely the time was taken to figure it out and to do it in a way that would not be completely offensive to the people that were used to the way it was and not turning off new riders for it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great addition to have that freshened up trail in that Mortimer area.
Mm-hmm. And Will, I think you probably know where I'm going to go with this, but part of what went into needing that reroute was the weather and the runoff. So let's talk about what the weather's going to look like this coming week.
Yeah, well, right now it's raining a ton, but wow, looking at the weather right now, it looks really good for about the next week. This weekend, Memorial Day weekend, we've got highs in the upper 70s, lows in the upper 50s. And Monday, it starts to warm up a little bit with highs in the low 80s and still keeping around 60 for the low temps, which is nice, good camping weather. But we've got some PM thunderstorms cranking back up at the end of next week. But this weekend, riding looks real good, and so does pretty much the first half of next week.
Heck yeah. I'm going to go to a place where it's going to be in the low 60s during the day and low 40s overnight. So I don't think he even got there that much rain this week. So it's going to be an interesting weekend.
Right on. Well, guys, that's a wrap on this week's episode. And as always, you can find us on social media. Just search Pisgah Podcast. And we've also got the web store going with shirts, water bottles, and koozies. And you can check that out at PisgahPodcast.BigCartel.com.
And if you have ever gotten both pedals stuck inside of a Pisgah ditch, then go ahead and click subscribe and share with your friends. And buy your friends a Listen to Pisgah t-shirt, water bottle, and koozie. Or all three. Who knows? It could be a great gift.
So how many Pisgah ditches have you gotten pedals stuck in?
Well, Old Lower Trace was always my guilty ditch pleasure.
Schoolhouse has definitely gotten me at least twice.
I had a love-hate relationship with my Pisgah ditch.
RIP Pisgah ditches.